Hello, I'm Sally from the News and Ledger. I'd like to ask you a few questions about Tracy Hammerson's murder trial. Is that all right?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's why you called me here.
It is. Can you start off by telling me about yourself?
Well, let's see. My name is Stanley Everett. Stanley Everett Stevenson. And I live here in Sparta, South Carolina, as you can tell, but I'm actually from New York City, and I grew up in the Big Apple, and while I was there, I grew up in a little house in a little town in New York City, but what happened, yada, 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 I ended up coming down here for law school, and while I was here, I figured, you know what, the sun is so much better than the snow, and so I'm what they call one of these Don Yankees, you know, because I come here and I stay. I just think that means I'm a great Yankee personally. But, you know, that's kind of what I have. Oh, I got a wife. My beautiful wife, Sarah, she's just beautiful, I tell you. And we have two little girls there, the light of my life. And I'm a lawyer. Actually, I'm a public defender.
You're a public defender now.
Yes, I'm a public defender rolling in the dough, you know.
But that hasn't always been the case, has it?
No, actually, I started my career as a prosecutor. Right out of law school, I went to the DA's office and I was there.
Well, you know, I've done my homework and I've spoken to quite a few of your former colleagues, and they had a lot of interesting things to say about you.
Oh, do tell, do tell. Surely they know that you don't go stabbing a New Yorker in the back. That's just a bad idea, I'm here to tell you.
I heard you graduated at the top of your class in law school. Surely you could have had any pick of your law firm areas and made a ton of money. Why did you want to be a prosecutor?
Well, I'll tell you, Sally, it was like this. See, I was raised in New York City, in case you can't tell. I'm not from Sparta, South Carolina. And the thing is, I was raised by a single mother. My father was a dirty down deadbeat who I never even met. And so times were tough. It was really tight. And so that made things difficult. And I was a bit of a pudgy kid. And not to mention, you know, I was nerdy. I was usually the top of the class. And so I was a big target for bullies. Huge target. And I didn't have many friends. So I watched a lot of movies. And my favorite movie of all time was The Karate Kid. Have you ever seen The Karate Kid?
Yes.
Good gracious, that is an excellent movie. In it, there was Ralph Macchio, and he played Daniel LaRusso. And Daniel came over from New York City, went all the way to California. And while he was in California, he ran up on these guys named the Cobra Kai. They were in this dojo, and they were awful bullies. And they would just beat on him and beat on him and beat on him. It really got bad. Until Mr. Miyagi steps up and trains him, wax on, wax off, to be a karate champion. And he ended up sticking it to those bullies, I'm here to tell you. And so, unfortunately, my mother, she worked really hard, but she didn't have enough to send me to get karate lessons. And quite honestly, I was too fat and slow anyway to be any good. But then when I was in college, I learned that I love the law. And loving the law, I could actually take it to those bullies with my mouth instead of with my fists. And so I got really good at litigating and things like that. And I realized that way that I could take on the world's bullies right there in the courtroom. And so I knew that it was my dream to be a prosecutor.
And you never lost a case, isn't that right?
Not one case. I was 257-0 when I was first chair.
That's quite impressive. Are you still undefeated?
No, honey, didn't you not hear I'm a public defender. There's no such thing as an undefeated public defender.
I want to talk to you about why you're not in the prosecutor's office anymore. But first I want to talk to you about one case in particular, the People versus Tracy Hammerson. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, that is why we're here, I figured.
Tell me about your role in that case.
Well, as you know, I was the prosecutor in that case, and I heard about it, same as everybody else, on the news. Because, you know, in Sparta, South Carolina, It's not like it is in New York City. There's not a murder every day. And so it was big news there. And so I went to the crime scene, you know, to check everything out. And the police in Sparta, they did an excellent bang-up job. I am here to tell you, it was absolutely amazing. They had a suspect within a day and a half. The only problem was he went on the run, and it took them 6 months to get a hold of him. But the best part about that for me is I had plenty of time to put my case, and it was ready. It was airtight. There was no way that he was going to get out of our hands when we got him. And we had that cat dead to rights, I'm here to tell you.
Were you there when he was questioned?
I was. I wasn't in the room, but, you know, I was in that other side of the room behind the two-pane glass, you know, where he couldn't see me. And I tell you, that man was a scary man. He was a stone-cold killer if I have ever seen one. He acted like it was no big deal. Like, what he did was just, you know, it was like going to the bathroom for him or something like that. I mean, he offed two people and maimed another one. And you know, his face was stone cold. And, you know, we even presented all the evidence to him. I mean, good gracious. Let me tell you, that BB Banks, that guy goes all out with his security cameras. Those things were as clear as a bell. There was no mistaking who was in shooting. And not to mention the DNA evidence we had. Just a tip here, Sally. If you're about to go in and shoot up a place, don't stay in the parking lot smoking for half an hour before and leave all the cigarette butts in the parking lot. Just a tip. You know, I'm just saying that was not his smartest move.
If you had all the evidence against him, why didn't he plead guilty for a reduced sentence? Isn't that usually what happens?
Well, most lawyers will plead out. I never wanted to plead out. Because if you got a plea bargain, usually it would be a reduced sentence. And I was never going to give a reduced sentence to anybody. If you can't do the crime, I mean, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. You know what I'm saying?
The truth is, you were kind of known for the ruthless prosecutions. Isn't that right?
Well, that is the truth. I was very much a ruthless prosecutor. You know, I made sure that they would be given it to the extent of the law, no matter what.
No matter what?
No matter what. In fact, there was this one man, and his son had terminal cancer, and the medicine for this cost $400 a pill. And so he broke into a pharmacy and stole 25 pills. And so now he's doing 25 years, one for each pill.
So what was your intention for Tracy Hammerson?
For Tracy Hammerson, death. When you kill two people and you maim another one, that's what you deserve. At least that's the way I felt in those days.
So I guess that's why this picture was hanging in your office.
Now, where did you get this?
Now, Mr. Stevenson, you know a good reporter never reveals her sources.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me what this is all about?
Well, remember I told you about The Karate Kid?
Yes.
And that movie? Well, this is a quote from that movie. And it goes like this. We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here in the streets, in competition, a man confronts you. He is the enemy. And an enemy deserves no mercy.
I thought you said you liked Daniel LaRusso. Isn't that a quote from Cobra Kai, The Bullies?
Well, a good quote is a good quote, you know. And the truth is, that's exactly the way that I went about my prosecution, with no mercy. The defendant was the enemy, and an enemy deserves no mercy.
So Tracy Hammerson was the defendant. He deserved no mercy, right?
Exactly. That is exactly right, or at least that's the way I felt in those days.
That's how you used to feel?
Yes, that's how I felt back then, but things have changed.
So how do you think I got that picture?
Well, I'm guessing that you probably, well, I really don't know. I mean, the last time I saw that picture, it was in the trash because it was my motto for the longest time, but when I left the prosecution, I didn't believe that anymore, and so I put it in the trash and walked out forever. I went up, and I was done.
Why did you throw it away?
it just wasn't for me anymore. It was my motto, but I didn't believe what it said.
Let's talk about that. Why did you leave the prosecutor's office? Did it have something to do with the Hammerson trial?
How did you guess? Well, what would you believe me if I told you that it was because of, well, maybe it was because I didn't want to ruin my perfect record? Would you believe that?
Not really. I think it may have something to do with Miss Beulah Simmons.
Boy, you are a great reporter. I am here to tell you. That is exactly why it is.
Would you mind telling me in your own words what happened and how it impacted you?
Well, we were in the trial, and in that trial, it was about, you know, it was about Tracy Hammerson, and he came into BB's automotive parts store and live bait shop, and while he was there, he waited for everyone to leave, and he went up to the counter where this young girl, Tiffany Simmons, was working, and he started yelling at her, asking for his wife, Betty. And she didn't know any Betty because she'd only been working there for like 2 weeks or something like that. And he got really upset, and so he pulled out a gun and started waving it around. And about that time, the manager comes out, Mr. James White, and the guy tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around, and he got three shots, right, two in the stomach and one in the back. Poor old sap, never saw it coming. And then he turns around, and he shoots Tiffany, the 16-year-old little girl who had barely started in life, and nicked her right in the leg. And then he proceeds to go and steal $210 from the cash register. That poor girl, the bullet hit just right, and she bled out on the floor right there. Well, I tell you, after the jury heard all of that, and then the part where he went to see his wife at her house, and then he messed her up so bad, it was the worst thing I had ever seen in my life. The coroner said that he was still stabbing her and shooting her long after she had died. It was horrible. But then, after the jury heard that and they convicted him, boy, I was licking my chops because I just knew what was going to happen next. What was going to happen next is we were going to stick a needle in that guy's arm, and I was going to be right there to watch it happen. I was excited, to say the least. But then she started talking.
She being Miss Beulah?
Miss Beulah Simmons. Yes, sirree. That old lady gets up there. She's just lost her granddaughter, who she was raising, and it was the love of her life. Except for some guy named Harold she kept talking about. I don't know what that was about. But she was talking about her granddaughter, and then all of a sudden, she turns to the jury and to the judge and to Mr. Hammerson, and she says to him, she says, "I forgive you." She forgave the man that killed her granddaughter. And then after that, she turns to the judge and the jury and pleads for his life and says, "Please don't kill this man." And she was talking about how Jesus had come into her life and how she deserved death and she deserved to be punished for all the things that she did. But because of what Jesus had done on the cross for her, that she believed in her heart that she should forgive him. It was beautiful.
What happened next?
Well, oddly enough, I did something that I had never done before. I got up that Sunday morning and I went to church. And let me tell you, Sally, it was as if that entire service had been designed just for me. The hymns were great and all, but then the Bible passage that they read that day, I'll never forget it. It was Mark 9, verses 10 through 13. Hold on a second. I actually brought my Bible with me, if you can believe it. It's amazing how it just happens to be there. And it says, "As Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came up and were eating and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, those who have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. And I tell you, Sally, I heard that and it blew me away. I was floored, absolutely floored when I heard that. And so, you know, I raced out of that place that day. I went right to a bookstore. I bought myself my very own Bible for the first time, and I started reading it. And you know something? It didn't hurt much that I just happened to be sitting next to the woman that became my wife. That was just God showing off, I'm pretty convinced. But it changed my life right there, because what I learned was about Jesus' mercy and forgiveness. And I thought, you know something? If Jesus showed mercy, even though people were unmerciful to him, and he calls me to do the same, then I just couldn't be a prosecutor anymore. Just couldn't do it.
So you quit.
I did. I went to Jim Anderson's office that very day, and I turned in my resignation. And he had been a mentor to me, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't see myself doing that anymore.
But you don't have a problem defending, as you put it, the bullies of the world.
Well, funny you should say that. As a public defender, that is what I do. I defend people that I used to say were the bullies. And many of them are, but I've also learned that in the 257 cases that I closed, I'm fairly certain some of those people weren't guilty. And so I stand up for the people who are sometimes bullied by a system that's stacked up against them. But then also, when I try to get people that I believe in, but as a public defender, you don't always have a choice. But when the people are guilty, I do my best to defend them. And when they're convicted, or if they're convicted, I try to make sure that the court has mercy on them. Because many of them have a story, something that happened in their life. People don't usually just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm a criminal now. They go through stuff. And these people, they deserve mercy. Just like God gives me mercy for all the things that I've done in my life. Miss Beulah is the one that showed me that day. Her words changed my life. You know, the truth is, the cross, it changed my life. Simply put, the cross changes everything.
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I look forward to reading your article when it's all done.
Thank you
so much. Thank you so much.